A Kirkland man has been sentenced to time served and 3 years of supervision for making death threats on Facebook against former Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson. Wilson shot and killed an unarmed black teen last year. Now, it's not the first time someone has landed in jail over social media posts, and it spurred a wider debate about what tips a social media rant over the line and makes it into a criminal act. Well, I spoke with David Green, a First Amendment attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. He says most social media rants are protected by the First Amendment right to free speech. A line is drawn when a real threat is made.
The exceptions to the First Amendment are very limited, and usually when we're talking about these rants, we're talking about the exception that's known as the true threat exception. And these are statements that are threats of violence against another person. But true threats are really, really limited exception, and it's also a very controversial exception. It's an exception that the Supreme Court right now is considering the definition of. And what we know, what everyone agrees on, is that a true threat is a statement that reasonably puts a person in a state of fear for their physical safety.
Now, the local man who was just sentenced made pretty explicit and violent threats on Facebook, but he didn't send those threats to the police officer. He posted them on his own wall. So why is that a crime?
Well, one of the things that the threat doctrine doesn't require is that the statements be made directly to the person. So that's not one of the things that is required. And that's not just something that's new with social media. One of the original threat cases dealt with a statement that was interpreted as a threat to the president that was not made directly to the president. It was made either in a newspaper or at a public gathering. So that's not even something that's new with social media. We haven't required the threats be made directly to the person. The idea is that when the person gets it they are reasonably put in a state of fear. What we don't know, the question the Supreme Court's trying to answer now, is whether the person who made the statement, who's going to become the criminal defendant, whether that person has to have intended to put the person in a state of fear, or whether they just should have known that their statement would have put a person in a state of fear. That's where the legal fight is right now.
This Seattle man who crossed the line, obviously not the only person to write threats. In fact, at the height of the outrage over Ferguson, there was a Twitter hashtag called Kill Darren Wilson, the officer involved in the shooting. Why weren't the creators of that hashtag arrested?
Well, I can't speak to why any prosecutor made any decision to do one thing or another. I think that with the Kirkland man, it seemed to be a very extreme situation. He made a number of statements. They were fairly explicit in their evidencing an intent to carry out the acts. And again, there were a lot of statements. They threatened not only the person, but I believe one of the officer's children as well. So I think that's a really extreme case. But certainly just adding a hashtag might not evidence the intent to actually put someone in a state of fear. That might be considered more of just a political commentary about Ferguson.
If someone is angry and they're about to touch that keyboard and write something on social media, what should they watch out for?
Well, I guess if they want to be very conservative and steer really far clear of this, then they would make sure their language did not have violent terms in it or could not reasonably be perceived as a threat. So that might not accurately reflect their feelings. That's the chilling effect, and that's why I think we need greater First Amendment protections in this area, is because we do actually want to encourage people to speak as much as they can.
First Amendment attorney David Green, he's from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That Supreme Court decision, which will help clarify the issue of what constitutes a true threat on social media and elsewhere, is expected to be made in coming months.